Jai Ram Madhava Kunna Vibhahu Ve Shila Prabhupada Jai Iskan Bound Acharya Shri.
Prabhupada. Ananda Goti, Vaishnava Vrindi Gijai, Namacharya Siddhakaridas Thakur Gijai, Ren Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sadwaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Gijai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopakurva Sayan Kunda, Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhan Gijai, Vrindavan Gijai, Mitsuradhan Jagat Sami Kajai, Yamanamai Kajai, Shimani Lasa Devi Kajai, Sambhi Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Go, Vrindanagadi. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories of Shri Guru Gopangash, the Bhagavad Kajai, the Mahan Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhule, Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So, unfortunately, you have the wrong verse up there, but, so you won't be able to repeat. Because yesterday, if you remember, we did 11 and 12. And the next verse, usually after 12 comes what? 13. Thank you for your help. So today we'll be getting a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asataha Shri Madandasya Daridriyam Param Ajanam Atmo Pamyena Bhutani Udhidra Param Ikshate Asata Shri Madanasya Uridriyam Paramajanam Atmo Pamyena Bhutani Dhritra Paramekshate Asatashi Madhandasya Dhritriyam Paramakjidam Atmo Pamyena Bhutani Dhritra Paramekshate Asata Shri Madandasya Dhrityam Paramajanam Atmo Pamyena Bhutani Dhritra Param Ikshate
Shri Madandasya
Daridram Paramanjanam
Daridram Paramanjanam
Ladies? Asataha, of such a foolish rascal, Srimada Andasya, who is blinded by temporarily possessing riches and opulence, Dharidryam, poverty, Param Ajanam, best ointment for the eyes, by which to see things as they are. Atva alpam yena, with comparison to himself. Bhutani, living beings. Daridra, a poverty-stricken man. Param, perfectly. Ikshate, can see things as they are. So, translation. Atheistic fools and rascals who were very much proud of wealth failed to see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is the proper ointment for their eyes, so that they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want others to be in a painful condition like his own. So, purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada Bhagavad-gita. Even today, if a man who is formerly poverty-stricken gets money, he is inclined to utilize his money to perform many philanthropic activities, like opening schools for uneducated men and hospitals for the diseased. In this connection, there is an instructive story called Punar Mushika Bhava. Again, become a mouse. A mouse was very much harassed by a cat, and therefore the mouse approached a saintly person to request to become a cat. When the mouse became a cat, he was harassed by a dog. And then when he became a dog, he was harassed by a tiger. But when he became a tiger, he stared at the saintly person. And when the saintly person asked him, "What do you want?" the tiger said, "I want to eat you." Then the saintly person cursed him, saying, "May you again become a mouse." A similar thing is going on all over the universe. One is going up and down, sometimes becoming a mouse, sometimes a tiger, and so on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Vatvam Jeev Guru Krishna Prasada Bhai Vati Lata Bhij Chaitanya Charitamrita Majalila 19.151. The living entities are promoted and degraded by the laws of nature, but if one is very fortunate, by association with saintly persons, he gets the seed of devotional service, and his life becomes successful. Narada Muni wanted to bring Nalakuvara and Manigriva to the platform of devotional service through poverty, and thus he cursed them. Such is the mercy of a Vaishnava. Unless one is brought to the Vaishnava platform, one cannot be a good man or a lady. Aravavatasya kato mahat guna, Bhagavatam 5.18.12. And all Vaishnava never becomes a good man, however severely he is punished. Wow. Frightening verse. So, Asata Sri Madanasya Dvridriyam Paramanjanam Abhopam Yena Bhutani Dvridra Param Ikshate. So, Omagana Tivarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shikurve Namaha. So, there's basically two ways to learn things. One is by experience, and the other one is by hearing, but not just hearing. So we're going to talk about this. There's an interesting story about Sripad Shankaracharya. Once upon a time, Sripad Shankaracharya, who is Lord Shiva himself, was having discussions with a lady about love. It's not. It's funny. It's not that he wasn't in love, but he wanted to discuss things. You know, just like if someone comes to me and says, "Would you like to discuss the Kama Sutras?" No. You can talk to my disciples who move peace as well. So, but Shankaracharya had a mission, and he really, what he wanted to do is, first of all, convince this lady that he knew about it, and defeat her philosophically, not physical, defeat her philosophically, and ultimately he wanted to take away her husband, so he could take sannyas. The husband would take sannyas. It's an interesting story. It's told in the biography of Sripad Shankaracharya. So what happens, he was thinking, I don't know anything about this stuff. You know, and then, of course, Lord Shiva is not a sannyasi. Lord Shiva has Parvati. And there's an interesting story about how even Lord Shiva chased after Mohini Murti all over the world. So, but in the incarnation of Shankaracharya, then he's sannyasi. You know, I think he only lived in this world for 32 years or something like that, very short life. Prabhupada comments that sometimes great devotees, they only stay for a short time. Even Lord Jesus Christ, people were celebrating his appearance, they only stayed in the world for a very, very short time. But he had immense effects on society. So he was thinking, how can I have a philosophical discussion about these things? I know nothing about these things. So he used his mystic power and he went into trance. And there was a king that had just died somewhere nearby. And kings are not known to be good brahmacharis. Like kings, they have many wives. It's always a problem when you have many. I don't recommend it to any of you. Actually, the word saputni means basically co-wife in Sanskrit. It also means co-enemy. So please don't do that. So anyway, getting back to the point, I know some people get aggravated by this discussion. So he decided that he wanted Shankaracharya enter the body of this dead king. The king was just like, he just croaked. It means death. And he entered the body of the dead king, and all of a sudden, at the funeral home, the dead king sat up. Pretty good. Sometimes I've been at funerals where they decorate the body so much, so well, that it looks like the person's just going to sit up out of the coffin. Did you ever experience that? They're very expert, you know, just making the cheeks look nice. I don't recommend it. That's why it's better just cremate the body. You know, just like worship of the body. The body is different than the self. I mean, just like sometimes people in different religions think that if you bury the body, we've had this discussion before, if you bury the body, that'll give the person an opportunity to go to the back to Godhead or something like that at the day of judgment, right? Can you imagine that? The body comes out of the ground. I don't want to be around at the day of judgment because all the bodies will come out of the ground. It'd be like that. It'd be like the worst horror movie I've ever seen. You know, it's just the body, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The body is just... As we've been reading before, the body is food for the worms, it's food for the vultures, it's food for the fire. You know, it's not us. It's not us. Just like a computer. You just throw away a computer when it doesn't work anymore. You upgrade it. Just like people, many people I know have the latest phones, especially iPhones. And they say, oh, gotta get rid of my old one. I only have an iPhone 12, and the 13 is coming out. And they know they're not lamenting. They don't put their iPhone in the funeral home. I've never seen that. No, they just trade it in. So, Chuck Joy, they have a porno agenda. Anyway, so, getting back to the point. So, Shankaracharya entered the body of this dead king. The king stood up and had some experiences. And then after he learned what he had to learn, guess what? He died again. And so Shankaracharya came back and was talking to this lady. And she said, oh my God, he knows more than I do. And he defeated her. And husband took sannyas. His lady also became renounced too, because she understood, here is someone who really knows the nature of lust. Because sometimes people say to me, you know, I'm a sannyasi, and they you know, I sometimes preach renunciation, sometimes. And they say, but you don't know what it's actually like. You don't know how wonderful love is. And I'm not going to enter the body of a dead king and experience these things. It's not my particular talent to do such things like that. So, but there is another way of knowing. Where Shankaracharya, he took one way of knowing, which was his pastime. I mean, obviously he knew because he was Lord Shiva. But as a pastime, he showed this particular activity. But there's another way of learning, and that way is what? Hearing. You can actually learn things by hearing and not have to go there. Like Prabhupada said, an intelligent man, he learns by hearing, and a stupid man, or less intelligent, someone used the word stupid, a less intelligent learns by doing. Experiencing things, isn't it? So it's better, of course, it's better to at least learn eventually. So here in this particular verse, this is quite frightening, that it's very similar to the verse Yashaham Anugrinami Harishe Tadanam Shanai. It's like parallel, one sense. That verse states that when I especially favor someone, I take away everything. His friends and his relatives reject him. I mean, who's going to want to take up Krishna consciousness? I don't want Krishna's mercy, if that's what it means. Think about it. Become a Hare Krishna devotee, get Krishna's mercy, your friends, your relatives. We don't want anything more to do with this guy. He's gone crazy. So it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't really have to be like that, because if one can hear nicely, for example, in this case, we're talking about poverty like that. If your heart can become soft by the chanting of Krishna's names, then you could actually understand or empathize with people. This is called empathy. You can empathize with what people are feeling without having to have gone through that experience previously. You can become compassionate. But if you don't chant nicely, and if you don't hear regularly from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from great devotees, then the heart will remain hard. It's described in the Bhagavatam that even insofar as the chanting is concerned, that if one chants and one doesn't feel tears coming from their eyes, then the heart is very steel-framed, is the verse in the Bhagavatam. Then the heart is steel-framed. And so there's no compassion. Because a Vaishnava, I would say the primary quality of Vaishnava, of course the primary is he loves Krishna, obviously. And yam vilashita shunyam jnanakarmana ritamana kunyena krishnana shilana bhakti muttamana. That's primary quality. But connected with that primary quality is compassion and love. Like we chant, hopefully we chant, vanchakalpa guru vishcha kripa sindhaviya vijaya patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namama. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. And to be an ocean of mercy, or to manifest the ocean of mercy, one has to have other qualities too that go along with compassion. And Lord Kapilati talks about this, about the ornaments of a Vaishnava. Sadabhushana, he calls it. Sadabhushana means ornaments of the sadha, he says. Tatikshava, because part of compassion, you cannot be compassionate without being tolerant. Like Lord Nityananda, attacked by Madai, or Haridas Thakur being whipped in 22 marketplaces, or, you know, it's Christmas, Jesus Christ being put on the cross. I mean, how many of us, if you had nails put through your wrist, actually they put through the wrist, not the palm, if you really want to know. The depiction of the cross is wrong, because if you put through the palm, you can't carry any weight. So the way they crucified people was through the wrist. Just so you know that for next time. So, and here he is. Can you imagine having these nails through you and hanging there, bleeding to death, and feeling compassion for the people who are doing it to you? I mean, it's unimaginable. I mean, if someone doesn't even bring me prasadam on time, I get angry. You know, what's wrong with them? You know, it's prasadam. I'm hungry. Or someone insults us, or someone, you know, our level of tolerance is so low. So what that indicates is that we're not very compassionate or loving. We're thinking of ourselves, on the contrary, we're thinking of ourselves as the enjoyer, like we told him yesterday, Bokaram, Bokaram, Jagadam, Satsavara, Ishwaraham, Siddham, Balabam, Sukhi. We're thinking of ourselves as important as the enjoyer. We're not thinking of others. I mean, it's really important. So that's an indication. What is an indication of? We're not chanting properly. That's a misindication, because the chanting is the only way. The chanting is the only way to develop that soft heart. And you can, like, like the verse that Prabhupada quotes here in the purport, Yashasti Bhakti, Bhagavacha Kinchana, Sarvara, Sukhanas Tatra, Samasate Sarahara Bhaktesha Kato Mahatguna, Mano Retainasate Davato Bahi. That's a very important verse that Prabhupada quotes often. He says that if one becomes a devotee, an advanced devotee, we all think we're devotees. I'm a devotee. But are we actually devoting? Devoting means devoted. Like I often say, the disciple means discipline, right? Disciple, discipline. Shashtatu, you know, in Sanskrit, the root, means discipline. I mean, not heavy discipline, you know, we don't take stick to disciple sticks anymore. We don't do that. But disciple means discipline, and devotee means devoted. It means just like, whatever you want, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, you can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. And you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's devoted. That's love. Don't try that in an ordinary relationship, because then you'll just have codependency, which is not a good idea. But do that with Krishna. So, so anyway, Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavacha Kinchana. So one automatically attains all the good godly qualities. And of course the second part of that verse is Harabhavata Shukato Mahatana Manorite Nasati Dabatobahi. That one who is not completely Krishna conscious, they don't have the qualities. So you may say, I see those qualities in people, you know, good qualities in people. They do have good qualities, but it's temporary. Because as Krishna also states in the Gita, the modes of nature are continual flux. They're continually fighting each other. It's interesting. The mode of goodness sometimes defeats passion and ignorance. The mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance. The mode of ignorance defeats goodness and passion. So it's not stable. Like you see some immature devotees or people in general who are very, very compassionate in one scenario, one context, one situation. And then in other situations, they're like Robin. I mean, let's take the case of your friend Jarasandha. Jarasandha, he's not that he was just like some ogre. He actually was quite hospitable to Brahmins, right? If a Brahmin came, he would give them everything. And that's why when Krishna came with Arjuna and Bhimsen, they came as Brahmins, right? So, in certain cases, Jarasandha had some good qualities. Duryodhana had some good qualities. He was very charitable. Karna! He was known as a charitable person. You go to Karna at the time of worshiping the sun, and he would give you anything. I wish he was here today. Go to him and make some requests. Isn't it? Like, but Indra, what did he do? He asked for his kundalas and everything. His armor and everything like that. So, you know, they have some good qualities. But in other situations, bad quality. He was envious of Arjuna. He was actually quite a pious person, but he was just caught up in his conflict of duty towards Duryodhana. So you see, you know, it's not all goodness. And people who are not Krishna conscious, yes, they have some times of goodness and sometimes really bad. Isn't it? But people who are Krishna conscious are 24/7 24/7, 365 and 366 on leap year. Right? Or in the Vedic context, we have leap month, Purushottama Mas. So that's Tetikshava. That's real. So you actually have to see it. Is someone tolerant? Am I tolerant? I mean, don't even look at someone else. Am I tolerant? Am I sometimes not compassionate with someone? So then the way to evoke tolerance, the way to evoke compassion is to chant better. Pray to Krishna, the nine processes of devotional service. And then these good qualities come. So anyway, so if one chants nicely, you don't have to worry about Krishna taking everything away. That was the whole point. You don't have that experience. Krishna will give you everything. Like Prabhupada said one time, Krishna will give you everything, but you wouldn't deal with it properly. You become enamored. Like if I gave Sumukha $10 million, you know, first thing you buy himself he'd migrate. No, he'd migrate, become rich, and be proud, buy a big house with 100 rooms or something like that. So it's better he's not rich. Isn't it? Like, Haridas Thakur, okay. He was actually in prison one time, and he blessed the prisoners, remain where you are. And so the prisoners got really upset. Oh my God. What kind of blessing is that? But, you know, they were already Christian conscious. And I also experienced that because I've done some prison preaching in the past. And you've gone into the prison, and you go into the prison, and everyone is just like, oh, Maharaj. I said, wow, this is the best preaching I've ever done. You know, better than Fiji. And so you think, oh, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. You know, a lot of people in the prison dancing and chanting. I've never gone into the super prison yet. I heard it's not so nice. But the ones in America are kind of nice. They have swimming pools and tennis courts and everything like that. So if you have to be a criminal, come to America. So anyway, but they're also enthusiastic. Jai! But then when they get out, no more Jai and no more Hari Bol. I mean, if all my prison preaching, there's one disciple who's still doing well. He's in Nicaragua. And he's really doing well. You know, he watches my class. He may even be watching the class now for all of that. So sometimes it's necessary. You know, so, and sometimes you see people migrate from Fiji and then they lose their Christian consciousness, they become immersed in material things. I'm not talking against migration, sorry. So you sort of lose that. And what's the use? That's another quote from the Bible, since it's Christmas. What's the use of gaining the whole world if you lose your eternal soul, right? So, yes, it's a great danger. It's a great danger. So one has to be very, very careful in having good sadhana, because otherwise one will lose their good qualities. Tetikshava Karunika. The next quality listed by Lord Kapila Deva is Karunika. He's full of mercy. And all these qualities of a Vaishnava, Tetikshava Karunika, Suradasa, Vidayana, Rajata, Shatra, Shanta, Sarva, Sarva, Usha. He said, Tetikshava Karunika, Suradasa, Vidayana, is a friend to all living entities, not just some, but to all living entities. And that's another point. Actually, all these different qualities of the Vaishnava are related with love and compassion. Jatashatra means one whose enemy is never born. Like, look, Yudhisthira Maharaj was called Jatashatru because he had no enemies. Sadhavasadavushana, and easily Shanta, and he's peaceful. So anyway, so these are the qualities we want to develop, and we should be very strict in our sadhana, so Krishna doesn't have to take everything away, or else we'll be in trouble. So remain humble, be strict in your sadhana. That's the only way to have good qualities 24/7. So, any questions? I said we don't have a lot of time for questions. Questions, comments? I was told to ask for questions. Yeah, microphone. Where's our microphone, Walla? How do you say microphone in India? Microphone? Mike. Mike Walla. If it's a lady, you have to say Mike Wally. Okay.
Hey, Vishnu Maharaj. I just wanted to request you if you could share your most favorite memory with Srila Prabhupada.
Most favorite memory? Okay. Yeah, once upon a time, most favorite memory was when I was in a darshan with Srila Prabhupada in Sridhar Mayapur. And there, Prabhupada emphasized preaching. It was interesting that there were devotees showing Srila Prabhupada pictures of some new temples that they had built and developed and everything like that. And Prabhupada was looking at them and appreciating them, but he was rather, in English there's this word, nonchalant. How to translate that into common English? He was, yes, it's very nice, you know, in a very calm way. Okay, that's a very good way to put it. He was very calm. There's a new word for you, nonchalant. You can remember that and press all your friends today. So, I mean, it's very, you know, calm. It's like, so, yeah, very nice. Not like, evil! So he was very nonchalant about it. And then I was talking to Prabhupada about our preaching in the country that I was temple president of, and that was Venezuela. Venezuela is a country in South America. It's like on this northern part of South America. A very tropical country. So we had organized a Sankirtan marathon in a city, small city, well, it's small, a million people in a city. And we distributed, not personally, but the devotees and I organized it, 35,000 Bhagavad Gita's, hardbound Bhagavad Gita's in 1 month, the month of Christmas. And the way we did it, it's an interesting story, is that there were buses all over the city. Oh, you have buses here. So a devotee would get on a bus with a box of books and hand a book out to every passenger in the bus. And then he would make a whole talk. And the bus drivers loved this too. Actually, some places in South America, we were so popular that the bus drivers would, when they got a Bhagavatam, they would look at the pictures and have the pictures drawn on the bus. You know, airbrushing? Anyone knows what airbrushing is? Airbrushing is when you can actually, like on a car, I'm sure you see on some cars, people have some weird things drawn on the car. That's called airbrushing. And there's people here in Fiji who do it too. So there were all these Bhagavatam pictures. You go to the buses and you'd be driving behind the bus and you'd see a picture from the Bhagavatam. And the funny thing is, one of their favorite pictures was Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. So he was just like, what? What's happening here? So the bus drivers were very favorable. And we kept books stored, and the storekeepers were very favorable too, just like here in Fiji. And so we kept books stored in all the different stores. So when the devotee got off the bus and his box was empty, he could pick up another box. It was a great organization. I did it. So, and then we had walkie-talkies, you know, radios, so we could supply books to different devotees. So I explained this to Prabhupada, how we did this, and Prabhupada's eyes opened wide. And, you know, really got ecstatic. Very rarely seen this with Prabhupada. Wow, 35,000 bucks, hardbound bucks. And then one of the devotees personally was responsible for 10,000 of those Gitas. One devotee. That's amazing, isn't it? Do you know how many cases of books that is? I mean, each case has like 20 Bhagavad Gitas. I mean, do your division or your multiplication or whatever. Division. You know, 10,000. You know, 20. I'll do it right now. So that's 5 cases per 100. That's 50 per 1,000. That's 500 cases. That means in a month he actually distributed 500 cases of books. And collected the money. That month we sent over 100-something thousand US dollars to the BBT from Venezuela. And Prabhupada always told me that the BBT was his heart. Prabhupada told me that. So so Prabhupada became ecstatic. And when I told him about that one devotee who had distributed 10,000 books in 1 month, Prabhupada's eyes opened even wider. And then Prabhupada said, he has the mercy of Krishna. And you know me, I was envious. I was like, but I often, I didn't say that. You know, I was always shy in front of Prabhupada, and I didn't want to really bother Prabhupada. I never really asked too many questions. And so I was thinking, what about me, Prabhupada? Is that the problem? Prabhupada looks around, and he sees me, and he reads my mind. And he says, you all have the mercy of Krishna. But then Prabhupada really just does the final knife in my heart. He says, but, you know, if you put the word but, it actually negates what you said before, if you learn language a little bit. He said, but it's just like the gopis. In one sense, they're considered higher. I said, I want to be a gopi too. Because Prabhupada actually said that preaching, which includes book distribution, is in the mood of the gopis. Now, why is it in the mood of the gopis? It's not that, you know, that everybody in the preacher has to put a sari on. That would be a misahaja. But in the mood of the gopis, in the sense of just willing just to tolerate everything, just give Krishna pleasure. Because we know that story where Krishna had a headache and no devotee would give him the dust from their feet to cure his headache. Because they were afraid of going to heaven. But the gopis, they were willing to tolerate anything. They are, not will, not were. The gopis are willing to tolerate anything if his headache is cured. Or Krishna. And Krishna, this is, you know, one of the standard preaching classes. So Krishna is in anxiety. Why is he in anxiety? Because he wants all of you back with him. And you're like the child who's rebellious towards the parent. I mean, I experienced this with all my disciples too. All of them. they're like the children, and they just don't listen. They don't know what's good for them. And I can't spank them either. So, anyway, some people watching are going to get upset with me now. So, all right, so the point is that Krishna is in anxiety because he cares for all of us and he loves us. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this is brought out very, very clearly, where Krishna is speaking to Gopakumar, and he's saying, I was just wondering, when are you coming back? And I was feeling so much anxiety that I personally appeared as your spiritual master to give you the mantra. Because in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have the story of Gopakumar's spiritual master giving him the mantra, he disappears. Then he sees him again, gives him some more instruction. Then he sees him again. And then Krishna reveals, yes, I came as your spiritual master because I was feeling anxiety. And then when Gopakumar finally comes back to the spiritual world, Krishna faints because he's so happy to see him. Can you imagine that? Krishna has everything, but he doesn't have you. He's not going to interfere with you if he will. But Krishna cares for you so much, he faints when he sees you. That's amazing, isn't it? How many people love you so much like that? You know, if you're a rebellious child, you go back to your mother. She says, yeah, you should have listened to me all along. I told you so. Shouldn't have joined the Hare Krishnas. So, but Krishna faints. He says, oh, wow. And Krishna's always planning now how to bring you back. It's true. It's true. I mean, this is actually the mood of a devotee's compassion, too. When a devotee meets someone, I mean, I can think of my own self that sometimes I meet someone and they come and go away and I'm just always thinking of them, how to bring them back. So, anyway, so if you want to serve, if you want to please Krishna, like the gopis, and then we have to bring people to Krishna, right? So, is that all right, that story? That's my favorite story. I haven't said any other stories, but that's the favorite one. So, any other questions or comments? Yes?
I have a question to distributing books. Maharaj, when we are distributing books, like, what is the best way that when you give Bhagavad Gita or give something, that especially sometimes he or she get disturbed. Like, how can we approach them? Their mind does not change and they get happy and they accept it.
You have to be humble. You have to be humble. Like, actually, a very interesting way Prabhupada said, I'm not saying we should do this, but Prabhupada said, sometimes you have to go to someone, I forget it's a quote from someone else, but probably quoted. He said, because we go to someone and say, you are so intelligent, now forget everything you learned. I'm not saying you should do that. But you have to find out what someone's interested is. You have to be interested in them. If you look at them simply as a book buyer, then you're not going to be successful. You have to be compassionate. And you have to really be interested in just, you know, where are you from? And someone says, I mean, I remember what I used to do was kind of funny and saying about it. They would say, I would say, where are you from? I am from Fiji. And I said, oh yeah, I know so many people in Fiji. Because I did that stuff. Anyways. But you have to really connect with them. Or, you know, even if you don't want to say you know so many people, just say, what's life like there? And you connect. One of my godbrothers, Vaisheshika Prabhu, is actually the most expert that I've ever seen. I went on book distribution with him, and, you know, I'm on the street corner approaching people. Hare Krishna, yeah. He taught me so many things. So, but he would run up to the cars. If you see here in Fiji, sometimes they're selling vegetables in the cars. Well, he would do that with the cars. And 10 seconds get them to agree to take a book and give it to me. It's amazing. I'm not saying you should do that. But he has one thing he taught, which is really interesting to get people to stop. He would see people on the opposite side of the street and wave to them. And they would think, oh my God, I don't remember who that is. and they'd be so embarrassed that they didn't remember you because they didn't know you from the first that they would come over and he would say, how are you doing? And seen him for a while. And then, I don't remember, but must have problems with me. Anyway, a very expert devotee, and he distributed so many books and continues to distribute so many books. Anyway, I think it's a question of connecting with people. That was my experience when I used to do a lot of books. We have one of our devotees in North Carolina, a lady, she used to do hundreds of big books a day. She's a great preacher. And, you know, she reaches out to the university students. She's friends with Prajaleo, right? No, yes. No. They stay together, and now they both reach out to people at the university. So, anyway, it's a question of a mood of compassion. I don't think it's any special technique or trick. I would just approach people just considering people to be my brothers and sisters. That's how I look at it. I don't. If you look at them in terms of their external body, it just doesn't work. So in other words, you have to feel that you're their long lost friend. You have to feel like that. That you're meeting them, not for the first time, but you're meeting them again after some time. And if you feel like that, you'll be able to distribute books. Good question. So any other questions? Good questions. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text 13.
What? You're really expert.
Srila Prabhupada says
I should attend your class.
Srila Prabhupada says that...
Chapter 4, Text 13. I've got to turn on my computer memory. So I don't remember all the verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam by heart. So,
Srila Prabhupada says that a great soul, he forgave offenses.
Yes.
But the
dust of the feet, though.
Yeah, Sri Krishna, he does not excuse offenses to the dust of
the feet.
So, Maharaj, how do we save ourselves from committing offenses and saving ourselves from the dust of the great soul's feet?
Clean their feet so there's no more dust left. Do some. That's a joke. You know, people got to take that seriously. I got to be careful because people take things seriously here. I'm gonna find people with scrub brushes on my feet pretty soon. So the way you deal with that is you serve the person. Because the dust of the feet means service. Padasevara means service. Like we find Lakshmi is the example of padasevara, service, of the nine process of devotional service. So you do some service for the person. And now it's one thing to cry crocodile tears. You know crocodile tears? That means just imitation tears, make believe that you're sorry. Please forgive me. Oh, I committed a great offense at your lotus feet. All right, I forgive you. But you got to do something about it. Forgiveness entails, first of all, apologizing. Second of all, understanding what you did wrong. Third of all, purifying your heart so you don't do it again. And fourth of all, you got four steps here. Fourth of all, serve that person. Do something. Do something for the person. Bring them some prasadam, a gift, or whatever. Dati, prati, purnati, buyamakyati. Prachiti. So you have to go through those steps. Otherwise, you know, it's not really forgiveness. I mean, it's really easy to ask for forgiveness. I mean, I did that with my mother all the time when I was young. And I didn't, you know, it was just a trick. So I wouldn't get chastised. Say you're sorry. Oh, I'm really sorry, Mom. Yes. No, I'm not. Has anyone ever done that? You know, I think we've all done that. Because you know you have to do it to get away with whatever nonsense you want to do. So, you know, it's easy to say, but you got to purify your heart and do something. And not do the same thing again. You know, apologize, it's cheap. So, I mean, of course, I forgive. If someone does something to me, and I don't, I just pray for the person. But up to an extent. But, really, you know, I would pray for the person if someone does something. I mean, that's actually, from our perspective, that's important for us. That if someone does something, we should not take offense. And I know in Indian culture in particular, people take offense really easily. Like Prabhupada described, that sometimes in Indian culture, it's like if something gets broken, you can't put it back together again, right? It's like glass. Yeah, you can glue it back together, but then you're left with a glass that has all sorts of glue marks on it. So we don't want to be like that. We should change that aspect of our culture. Be ready to not consider ajata shatra shanta, not to consider others to be enemies, no matter what they do. I mean, that's Jesus Christ's lesson. That's Haridas Thakur's lesson. We mentioned that before. And we have to work on it. And that means we pray for someone. Someone does something to me, I pray for them. I don't go on the internet and start blaspheming them. If they say something on the internet bad about me, I don't respond. Even, you know, talking about Jesus Christ again, he said, if someone hits you on one cheek, what do? You run away. No, you turn you turn the other cheek. Right? I mean, that's the lesson of all great personalities. You just turn the other cheek, that's all. I mean, that's what you say. I mean, that's what we call masochism. Masochism. Don't do that. But at the same time, you know, you have to cultivate that forgiveness. And forgiveness means praying for the person. So, we probably have to end, right? Because 15 minutes are over. And Krishna will be very angry with us. So all glory.